You're listening to Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum. How are you? Tom Welling, Kristen Kruk, and I have joined forces. One of my charities of choice is the Ronald McDonald House, Los Angeles. As you know, I do movie nights, and I haven't been able to do those. I try to, you know, get dinners for families and things like that and help, you know, and ask people to help me. And anyway, omaze.com/reunion is teamed up with Smallville. So you can go there to omaze.com/reunion. And donating, you're a winner already. But if you're drawn, you get to have a virtual Zoom or whatever the hell you do with me, Tom, and Kristen. And we could talk about everything. So that's going to be fun. So check that out. Everybody's a winner. Other great organizations, you know, helping the homeless, is foodonfoot.org. Ask for Rob Danson. He's my buddy who's also in my band Left on Laurel. He's my guitarist. He works for them, and he's amazing. And I'm a $99 club member. So maybe you'll join one and come and join me. We've got in the outros, we've got a lot of good stuff. We got shout out to my patrons. We got just a bunch of fun stuff. I'll read a fan letter. I always like to read fan letters, tell you a little bit more about what's going on in my life and your life, hopefully. Although I can't hear you. But I hear you. Trust me. I freaking hear you. Also, the Inside of You store, Inside of You online. We're getting, I know you guys have been asking, black shirts. Cool new black shirts, cool new gray shirts, cool new hoodies. I've never had a hoodie. So we got hoodies and a bunch of stuff coming. Shout out to Brandy Eady for helping me out. Pretty good weekend. You know, I've been watching a lot of classic movies. I still do the horror movie night with my friends. Name drop, you know, John Heater, Napoleon Dynamite. He and I watch horror movies together. In fact, we love horror movies so much that we're like, you know, and we're always bitching, where have all the good horror movies gone? But John and I thought we'd just do a Patreon exclusive. So it's John Heater and myself. The podcast is called Where Have All the Good Horror Movies Gone? We're going to have it on Patreon soon. My Patreon for Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum is just kick-ass, man. What a great community. In fact, I've been doing private YouTube live videos just with my patrons. So it's a couple hundred of us, and it's a lot of fun. A lot of people are sort of doing things differently for this whole thing, this whole coronavirus quarantine stuff. So, you know, I like to check in with celebrities, or, you know, my grandmother, who's the biggest celebrity. I checked in with her last week for the Dave Bautista episode. Great episode, by the way. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. Thank you for spreading the news. And, you know, we did Stephen Amell on the Grant Gustin episode. We did, and now I'm waiting for my good buddy. You know him from It Part 2. He had probably the biggest part. He was in the movie back in the day with me. Shadowhunters, Isaiah Mustafa. Just want to check in with my old buddy. He lives around the corner. I want to check up, see what he's doing, see what he's up to. I mean, he's also the Old Spice guy, so he's probably got to keep his body conditioned. Although, how many commercials can he shoot right now? I don't know. So let's talk to Isaiah. Hey, man, thanks for doing this. We're doing these little intros. Just catch up on my friends, see how they're doing. So, you know, people are quarantined and, you know, everybody's doing their own thing and trying to keep sane. How are you keeping sane? Is working out part of your regimen? Is that how you keep it going?
Honestly, man, like I think the best or the easiest thing for me was to just find a routine. Like once I got into a routine, it was good. But, you know, you have those days where you just, you know, you're striving for normalcy. So yeah.
You're married. Lisa's a wonderful lady. Now, is it hard during this where you're always on top of each other? You like having somebody around?
I do like having somebody around. I love how you say it, like having somebody around as though like, you know, like she, like I just need somebody around, you know, like, no, but I do like having my wife around. But she has her own office. I have my own office. We separate during the day, come back together sometime in the evening to have dinner. So, you know, it's nice, but I got to knock before I go in her office because that's like the rule. Just knock, you know,
porn. Is that why she's watching porn in there?
I don't think so. Because the audio that I'm hearing is, sounds like a business meeting, but unless they're doing business meeting porn nowadays, I really don't see that happen.
Hey, let me ask you real quick. You miss Shadowhunters ever? You ever miss it?
I miss the fans. I miss the cast and crew, the people up in Toronto and stuff. Like, you know, like just seeing those people every day. and stuff like that. Yeah, I miss it. I don't necessarily miss, I think everybody would say that. You probably said this when you were on Smallville, like, you know, there's days where you're like, man, can we do something fun with my storyline? Can we do something different? You know, or can we, you know, can we get a more in-depth storyline? You know, I don't know. I think the fans would agree with me that Luke, the character Luke Garraway, never really got his due. So, but then again, I always say this, like, it wasn't the Luke Garraway show. It was about, you know, teenagers with crazy superpowers. He was just facilitating. So,
hey man, people loved you.
You live by the YA novel, you die by the YA novel. You know what I'm saying?
How much do you miss acting? How much do you miss work? Because you know you were in a big movie, It too.
I mean, yeah, I miss it all the time. I don't know how other actors feel about auditioning, but I love the audition process. Like, I actually love going in, meeting people and saying stuff like, you know, I don't know, just getting able to kind of work in a room in front of people. I like that process. I don't know. I just, there's something about it that I did. 'Cause it's instant, either it's instant, like you instant results, you know, whether you did a good job or you know, whether it's not going any further.
That's true. Well, look, man, I love you. I don't want to keep you. I told you it would just be a couple minutes.
When are you going to bring me back on the show? That's what I want to know. You like, come back. Relevant again, motherfucker.
You can come back whenever you want to come back. What we're trying to do now is, because we've had some repeats, we're always trying to get new people, but like, I have favorites. You're my boy. I you know, back in the day, if you haven't seen Back in the Day, he was great. He gained 30 pounds for the role.
Man, I gained 30 pounds like 3 weeks ago almost. Like the first 2 weeks of quarantine, ooh, I picked up some weight. Like, it was crazy.
But you're still hot even when you get heavy.
I'm a handsome big man.
I'm a handsome big man. All right, dude, I love you, Isaiah. Thank you for joining me, and I'll be talking to you.
All right, love you, dude.
I love that guy. That was great. All right, now let's get into our main guest. And remember, we'll talk to you after if you want to stick around for the outro, if you've got nothing better to do and you want to hang out with me. But let's get into this guy. Is pretty dynamic. He's fun. I almost got him to say a couple things, but he was pretty open, and he's a good dude, man. I liked him. I genuinely like him. This is let's get inside of Justin Long.
It's my point of view. You're listening to Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum.
Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum was not recorded in front of a live studio audience.
Oh my God, the poster. I thought about bringing a poster in here. I have a Back to the Future poster. I don't know what to do with it.
Well, all right. No.
Here's the issue.
I just saw that movie for the first time. Can you believe that?
What movie did you say?
The Jerk.
You saw it for the first time?
I know. It was like a point of embarrassment for so long. I never lied about it, but I came close. I was so ashamed.
God, it's so good.
And it was as good as I thought it would be. It was better.
Right. And I was
angry that it had taken me so long.
First of all, thank you for allowing me to be inside of you, Justin.
Yeah, I'm a little nervous about being inside. Wait, are you inside of? Yeah, you're inside of me.
By the end, things could change up a little bit.
Okay.
You know, it's funny how you start. The first thing you see is the Jerk poster. I've had this conversation with a lot of people, and you know, people will come in the house and then they see posters and autographs and, mm-hmm. you know, they're like, Odenkirk was really cool about it. He was kind of fascinated by it. But, you know, guys like Dax, our mutual friend Dax, he never asks for autograph. He doesn't understand it. He tries to get into my psychology.
Oh, like, why do you need that? Why do you think you need that?
Yeah, why do you need
this? What does that do for you? Is that what it is? It is a strange thing, autographs for adults, I think.
So you don't get that?
When I was a kid, I remember really wanting, I got Eric Dickerson's autograph.
All right. Rams. Yeah.
Eric Dickerson, the football player, the Rams.
The Rams, yeah.
Running back. And it was funny because he wrote, God bless Eric Dickerson. And I never really saw the comma. It was a black and white photo. And
he just blessed himself.
So as a kid, I just read it as God bless Eric Dickerson. And I remember thinking, like, well, I mean, he's great, but sort of conceited. You know, that he would write that. But
at night, at night, you'd be going, God bless Eric Dickerson. That was your prayer every night.
I just thought it went without saying. I thought God had already blessed him.
Obviously.
With those great skills. You know, God-given talent. when I was a kid, I was really into the an autograph. It's a thrill, yeah. And certainly now, signing an autograph for a kid is such a nice thing. You know, it's the few times it's happened, but it doesn't really happen anymore. Now it's everyone's got a camera on their.
But wait a minute, Justin, you were in Galaxy Quest, and your character was like seeking autographs and things. I don't understand. You're not like your character.
You know what, and this is very hypocritical for me to say,
like a character.
Because I, now that I think about it, I have a signed Flamingo Kid poster. Matt Dillon, a buddy of mine got Matt Dillon to sign it. And that was cool. It's cool. I got Michael J. Fox to sign my Secret of My Success poster. So I don't know what I'm talking about. Somebody that I really admire in autograph would be cool, I think. Okay. I've completely reversed my position.
You've changed your mind. You know, yes. Here's the thing with me.
You got inside of me and rewired me.
Well, you know, I'm just, I don't know what it is, but like, especially with heroes that you grew up watching.
Oh, yeah.
When you meet them, it's like, it's not like I go on every movie set or every TV show, but like I worked with Stallone and people know this. And I waited till the last day. I knew that our camaraderie, we had that going. He was like, hey, look at you. He called me Dot Face because I like had these CGI dots on my face. Hello, look, Pippi Longstocking. So,
that's so, pretty good. What was he like? What was it like?
Awesome. Yeah. He was, and I love this, by the way, because you have a show, Life is Short. What's funny is like, I didn't get it at first. The name was like, Life is Short. And it was like weeks ago. Life is Short. That's cool. I didn't put it together with Justin Long. I'm an idiot. Like Life is Short with Justin. It is. It's simple. It's what it is. It's like people like.
I found it was really hard to name the show. Something as simple as that. It was strangely complicated. We had lists. We do it with this company Wondery, and they had ideas. And to come up with that as simple and perhaps dumb as it sounds, that was, believe it or not, the best thing that we came to after a lot of deliberating. We didn't deliberate about many things, about the format, about, you know, what we, the things we wanted to talk about. But that title took forever to land on.
Well, you know,
I don't know if you found that.
I did. And I think no matter what the title is, you're going to, people are always going to say, oh, this, that. You just got to go with like, oh, this is cute. This is charming. I remember we had a clip that kind of, it went viral and it was on Stern. And Stern was like, he was going, oh, this is a clip from Inside of You. With Michael Rosenbaum. Oh, it's like a double entendre, right? He's inside of you. But then Robin was like, oh, we love him though. He was Lex Luthor. And she's like, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Cause they used to talk about that show all the time. But I was like, dude, come on. I mean, cool. You know, he gives everybody shit, but.
It's sort of like a badge. It's kind of like me. I got to meet Don Rickles. God rest his beautiful, funny soul. I got to meet him and he, of course, he gave me shit. And all my friends, he mocked all of us. He made fun of all of us and threw around a couple slurs. And it was like it's what you hope for when you meet somebody like
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. When I'm on set, you know, so when I went up to Stallone at the end, I go, hey, that's a wrap on me, whatever. And I go, would you sign this Rambo lunchbox? You know,
oh, that's cool.
And he's like, you got a Rambo lunchbox. How old are you? Is this for you? And he signed it, you know, and he was cool. But it's just like, it's one of those things that if I decide not to be an actor again, you know, anymore, if I down the road, I retire, I move to some little town where I grew up.
That's cool. Mike.
And I got friends that come over from the Midwest and like, oh, dude, Sly signed that.
That's cool. I get that.
You know, and by the way, you know, you're doing a show, you're interviewing people, I'm interviewing people. And so it's like, it's weird because I really love doing this. And sometimes I read the comments and every once in a while you're like, oh, you know, sometimes you'll cut people off or sometimes. I get so excited. Do you find yourself doing that where you just get excited talking to someone?
Yes. I'm very into affirming things. I really like to affirm. I get a little overeager. I was noticing when I first started hearing the interviews played back, I was saying, what was I saying?
That
was weird. I can't remember now. It was something like, okay, or I was affirming too much. Or maybe it was just, it was a lot of that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I may still do it too much, people who listen to the show, but I think I've gotten a little, you know, you you learn over the, you've been doing this for a long time, I'm sure.
Not that long. I think it's like 100 and something episodes. 105 episodes.
But long enough, Mike, where you like, you recognize certain things that may even annoy you that you didn't, you previously didn't know you.
I promise you, this is the truth. I really almost never listen to myself. Once I'm done, I trust and I notice like people will say to me, man, if you listen to yourself when you first started interviewing people and now you have grown so much, you're so much better. And I'm like, oh, wait a minute. How bad was I? That's what we think of.
That's sort of a backhanded compliment. Well, you may have just gotten more relaxed, and I happen to find I like listening to criticism like that. You know, especially since this is something that's so new to me. When it's obviously if it's like a troll, if it's somebody just saying like you suck and I hope you die. I you know that's different. That's not like constructive. And but. People, there's a Facebook group of people who listen to the show, and they often, they correct us. I know that Dax, you mentioned Dax, he has Monica who fact checks him, but we don't really have that. And so I've noticed, I've read certain things on Instagram or whatever that,
what don't you like? What have you read? What have you read that you didn't like?
That I didn't like?
That, you know, that you were kind of like, fuck, that was kind of like harsh.
Well, like hurtful things, you know, like it's usually it takes a lot these days to really hurt me. The funny thing happened recently where I read somebody just said called me a dildo, and they just said you're a dildo, which I kind of thought was a little that was sort of funny. It's sort of a funny insult to call a guy a dildo, and then I didn't respond to it, but I wasn't particularly hurt by it, but I was like, oh, that's weird that they would go on. Just that they would go through the trouble of like logging onto their thing and writing that. And a couple of weeks later, somebody else said, you dildo. And then they said a complimentary thing. And I realized it was
your brother.
It was a reference to the show I do called on the Netflix, this animated show called Episodes for Family, where my character uses that word a lot. As he calls his dad, he's a teenager, and he's always saying, you dildo. Everything's effing dildo.
Oh my God.
Can you curse on your, you can curse.
Oh, yeah.
You curse?
I curse. Yeah. I swear.
And I think the previous one that I thought was a troll was really maybe a fan of the show. And my brother pointed out, well, maybe he was both. Maybe he thinks you're a dildo and he's a fan of the show. I don't know. Things that really hurt me.
I mean, maybe in the past you could reference something that's something like, you know, was there a time? I'm sure when like all those times when you were dating Drew and people were like this, and I'm sure they said things that probably hurt you.
You know, Mike, back then I didn't read. I think the only way, and this is because my skin was probably a lot thinner and still probably would be too thin for something like a personal attack like that. I didn't engage with it. I wasn't on social media really. If stories were in the tablets, I would hear about it usually through my parents or friends or but I found that was an easy thing to distance myself from. That was an easy thing to divorce myself from. It really was, because it was really on the internet or in those magazines, and it's easy enough to not read that stuff.
You were loved as a child. I could tell. I could tell you had a good relationship. You were loved as a child.
I was loved. Yeah. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
I was loved.
Yeah. Did you have a good relationship with your parents?
Yeah, very good. Yeah. I mean, they drive me nuts, but they're, they can be, right now they're frustrating because they keep wanting to leave the house. And of course we're trying to, you know, they're stubbornly wanting to go to the grocery store and stuff. But yeah, they're very loving parents. I'm very lucky.
So you had, I always talk about this because, you know, there's certain things that, you know, people out there, they didn't get this, they didn't get that, you know, and there's a time when you got to grow up and shit and go, hey, you know, I didn't get that, but I got to get it from somewhere else. And that's kind of a thin line too, because I know that, you know, you don't get love at home. You don't get, hey, you're good. So what do? You go out and you get it. How do I get it?
Right.
Validation. How do I get validated? So you never felt like, you always felt your parents are with you. I'm proud of you. You're smart. You can do it. They were always that. That was sort of the mentality.
Yeah. I mean, we fell into, I have two brothers and we all fell into different categories, I would say. And my older brother was always the smart one. I mean, he's brilliant and, you know, went to a great school and was always excelled academically. And my thing, I think, was more I was kind of a clown and I was very small for my age. So it was my way of finding my social footing, I think, was just being a a little clown, but I was also so small that I was like too easy of a target. I didn't really get picked on, and I wasn't threatening enough to anyone to be singled out and picked on. So I was okay socially. But I think maybe that's where I found any sort of desire to be an actor or to do what I do now.
How tall were you in high school?
I can tell you exactly. Going into high school, I was 4'10". I weighed 89 pounds. You too?
Yep. I graduated at 5'3". I grew 9 inches after my senior year. Yeah, I was the smallest kid in my high school. Kid in my high school. And you just get overlooked.
Holy
shit. Yeah.
Mike, you were 5'3", graduating high school?
Yeah, I didn't grow till I graduated high school. I'm telling you, I grew 8 inches in the next year and a half.
Oh, my God.
I don't think I had hair on my balls till I was a junior in high school.
Yeah, I wish I had chronicled that development. You know, I wish I had, like, written, like, a puberty journal, like, when I had my first pube. And, like, I remember, do you remember, like, getting, like, a hair under your arms?
And
was like,
dude.
The fuck is happening to me?
Yeah. Well, no, I used to pray for them. I would pray to God and Eric Dickerson. I'd say, please bless you, Eric. Give me some.
Oh, you wanted them.
Oh, my God. I wanted because skins and shirts when you played basketball in Indiana, everybody played basketball. It's something I didn't. But I was like, I go, you know what, guys? I'll sit on the side because I didn't have any hair. And if I, God forbid, I had to take my shirt off. People are like, dude, I remember Mike Curry lived down the street and he used to go, Rosenbaum, where's your armpit hair? Do you not have any armpit hair? And I remember going, dude, I swim. They make us shave them because I had heard it or something. It was a comeback. They're like, what?
You said you shaved them?
I swear to God. My friend Tom Lally will attest to that.
That's a more embarrassing lie.
I know. I always come up with these things that are not better. Just say, why are you looking at my armpit, dude?
Mike Curry.
Dude, he had enough hair for the entire school.
Was
hairy.
Those kids. It was like,
what happened? Why does that guy get all the hair?
Yeah, but those are the guys that like get all the hair in like eighth grade and they peak in like ninth or 10th grade. A good friend of mine, he's not going to want me to say his name, you may know him. Really, he wouldn't care. John Pisani. Do you know Pisani?
Yeah, I know John Pisani. Yeah. He was hairy.
He was hairy. And like, there were a few of those kids, maybe one or two that were like, fully hair, like a full pelt, you know, the head to toe.
Jesus.
In like fifth grade. And he said they were scouting him for college teams in like fifth and sixth grade. He's now like five, he's not that short, but he's 5'8", 5'7", 5'8". He was that height in fifth grade. And he said he never grew after that. So I knew a couple of kids like that. And it's funny that you were self-conscious about it because I'm trying to remember now if I was. I don't remember that being an issue for me. I was self-conscious about like my looks and about certain other aspects of my physical appearance, but I don't remember the height being like really wanting to be tall, even though I was so tiny. I was so short. Maybe I did.
Did you get girls? The girls like you in high school?
Not really. No, not.
Did you have sex in high school?
Plays. What's that?
Did you have sex in high school?
No. I was I was a real late bloomer in that department. No, not until freshman year of college. It was when I went to a very like progressive, I would say, I guess all colleges like this. So I don't know if mine was particularly sexual, but, it seemed that way. It seemed like, in fact, I think it was because there was an article in Spin Magazine. Is it Spin Magazine still exists?
I don't know.
Spin Magazine, where a journalist went undercover. I went to Vassar College, and they went undercover and posed as a student and basically chronicled how, sexual the school. I don't know if I should be saying, but it's chronicled. It's been already written about.
I mean, it's written about. Yeah.
I think the next year, male admissions shot up by 200%.
Are you serious? Based on that article?
Yeah. Or male applications, anyway.
Yeah.
And they were trying to even out the female male ratio. I remember. So it was by the time I got there, I think it was like 61% female still. I think now it's more even, but it had been an all female school, so they were trying to get more. Which is probably how I got in, because it was easier for guys
right
to get in. Do you hear that, Cher?
No, it's pretty good. No, I like that. Sounds like an X.
But I was grown by then. I can't believe you didn't grow. That's very rare, Mike.
It is rare. And I remember going into the kitchen one night and looking at my parents with just tears in my eyes and going, this is your fault. You did drugs. You always did drugs. My dad's 6'5". My mom's like 5'8". I'm like, why am I fucking 4 foot or whatever? And like freshman. And like, I remember I wrestled and I was like 14 and oh. And the reason is 13 wins were because there was no one light enough to wrestle me.
Yes, I wanted to play football so badly. And the coach pulled me aside after the end of this 2 week training camp. And he said, you know, son, we got a great wrestling squad. And I was like, well, that's going to be hard to do because as you know, wrestling season is the same as football season. And he goes, son, you're not going to play. You're not going to play on the team. And I said, I know I'll be on the bench. I'll ride the bench, but I'm sure, you know, God forbid someone gets injured and then I'll go in and I'll be a backup. And he said, son, let me put it this way. If the entire team, God forbid, is on a bus, this is not word for word, but he basically said, if the whole team is on a bus and you happen to drive separately and something happens to the bus, you're still not going to play. And it was heartbreaking.
That is heartbreaking.
Yeah. So he was, but that's when he said, he goes, you should wrestle. We got to go. And he said, you'll probably be in your own weight class. You'll be undefeated, which is what happened to you.
That's really funny. And you like wrestling. Didn't you host some wrestling thing years ago at the Staples Center?
I did. No, it's funny to say I like wrestling. No, I don't.
I read something about it. I was like, maybe he likes wrestling. Maybe he started wrestling in high school or.
No, I did for a week. And then I gave it up.
It's too hard. It's too hard. Yeah.
It's funny. My friend just connected me with, I've been wanting to do yoga. And my friend Paul, really great actor, he was on the show, Paul Hauser, has been doing yoga. And he connected me with this. He's like, you know, I got a friend who does it. And he's got his own app and he's got a program. And his name's Dallas. And so I was texting with this guy, Dallas. Dallas Page, and he told me to download the thing.
I know Dallas Page, the wrestler Dallas Page.
Yes,
he gave me a thing to download.
It's called DDPY.
Yeah,
it's a yoga. Yes, do you know it?
I do.
Yeah, he's like, but I had no idea it was the wrestler Diamond Dallas Page. Of course, I know who that is, and I had been asking him really obnoxious questions because I'm so bad with, as you now know, seeing how I've set this up, it took me so long to do this. I'm really bad with like computers and technology and all that, and it just made me laugh that this whole time I thought I was talking to like this yoga geek, you know, this guy who had this like very peace loving, like Buddhist-y yoga guy. And I clicked on the thing and it was like, this is Diamond Dallas Page's yoga. Get ready for your, you know, get ready to align your chakras. It was unexpected. But it's a good program if you're into it.
You know, I was just watching and like and reading about stuff and hearing some stories. Like I know you did, obviously you did dodgeball, and I hear some stories. Like you're kind of like a goofball. I'm a goofball on set. I'm always like always just trying to, you know, make everybody laugh, center of attention, just keep myself busy, maybe because I'm bored. And like I worked with, you know, one of my good friends is John Heater, Napoleon Dynamite. He worked with you and he loved you. But he's like, he was always like having fun. He's always,
he's awesome. He's always like cracking it. Yeah.
Justin Long's pretty much awesome. Yeah. He's always like, got so much energy or whatever.
That's really good.
Do you feel like, really were you a kid who had ADD? Do you feel like, you all over the place? Were you, like I have ADD. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, I
squirrel,
can see that.
Squirrel. Do you not have that, you think?
Yeah, I definitely have that.
You do?
I was, how much of that do you think was because you were little, though, and you were trying to get attention?
Prove yourself.
And find your, you know.
I think it was just like I wanted something. Like, God, I'm too small. I'm not getting, you know, I didn't get attention from my parents, really. I was just sort of like, I need.
Girls? Did girls like
No,
you?
Girls didn't like me until, Rosie. I didn't get laid till, I think I was 18. But I remember just always like, I guess when somebody told me I was funny and that changed my life. And I was like, okay, I got to be funny. I got to be on. I got to be somebody else. So I think that's why always on set. I had a friend of mine once, he worked on Smallville with me. And he goes, dude, I don't know how you do it, man. I go, what? He goes, you're working like 14-hour days and you're doing learning these lines and stuff, and you're running around set. You never go to your trailer and just chill. Maybe you wouldn't be so tired all the time if you just went to your trailer and just relaxed.
You know, Mike, I used to be like that. I know exactly what you're talking about, because I loved being, and I still do. I love being on set. I love the energy of a set. God, how much do you miss that now?
Yeah.
But I found the older I got, I needed to go back to the trailer occasionally, because I couldn't sustain a whole day that kind of energy of being that buoyant all day.
Yeah, because you want to be fun. You want the director to see, I love having him on set. The producers love this guy, and he's good. Like, you want everybody to like you. And then you're just like, oh my God, I'm alone again.
It's also fun. It's also like, God, that's part of the fun for me. Still, I've never been one of those actors that, like, you know, the reason I do this is the craft. And, like, I love it. I love every aspect of it. But one of my favorite parts of it is just the social aspect still. I mean, like, it's the reason I got into it in high school after football didn't work out and wrestling. And it's the reason I continue to love it. I love being around creative people, and I love being around the camera department. I don't know. That's still such a huge, and my perception of you, in fact, was always, you were like the life of, when I started out in the early 2000s, late 90s, I would always hear your name in the context certainly somebody who's funny, but the kind of the life of the party. Oh, Rosie. Oh, yeah, you got to meet Rosie. And there was always, I feel like, a party at your house. And
yeah.
Gina Phillips, I remember, was like, she was the first time I heard your name, was one of the first jobs I did with Gina. And then Nikki Ake, all these people that I knew, all these girls, usually girls, who were like, oh, Rosie's the best. And he's always having, and I'm sure I remember being at parties at your house.
It was sure.
Like the epicenter of, you know.
Yeah, you know, it's weird. It's like, I always felt like, I think I've been with that with my family. It's like, this is what we're doing. I'm organizing a family event, or I'm organizing tonight, I'm having bingo for 30 friends on Zoom.
That's cool.
Everybody's Venmo me $10, and we have four games. We do a regular bingo, a Y and X and squares, and I will be like, B4. And I got a buddy who's like, B4. And we just have fun. Everybody gets a cocktail. So yeah. I like people having fun. And I used to say, fuck, I'm tired of it. I used to get so frustrated with myself. Why are you putting so much energy? Why do you give so much to so many people and they don't give back anything? It's like, well, then don't do it unless you fucking like doing it, dude. If it's just part of you to do this stuff, do it because you like it.
Well, so do you have to check in with yourself every once in a while and just make sure that you're enjoying yourself and not just like facilitating the joy of others?
Sure. And I remember one time my uncle said something. I was at Disney World. I used to treat my whole family to Disney World when I was making real money on, you know, back in the day. And I take 20 people and put them up and VIP guides. And I used to film it all. And then my uncle's like, hey, Mike, why don't you put the camera down and actually just live in the moment here?
Huh.
And it kind of, like, it's not that it upset me. I think it upset me because it was true. It was like, yeah, what am I doing?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm trying to create memories, but this is a memory right now. Like,
you know, it's funny, Mike, when you asked me, like, what's something upsetting that I've read about myself or on Instagram, I'm now trying to, like, I'm trying to go through the Rolodex of things that potentially could have upset me. And I'm not landing on anything, but I do remember the sensation of being upset, like being hurt, offended, whatever. And it's usually has to do with something that strikes a chord, something that maybe is a
true,
little truthful, that you find there's some, you know, it's valid. It's valid, hurtful criticism, whatever it is. That's usually the stuff that I had a hard time accepting. And I think now I kind of welcome that. So it's a reason I like therapy. You know, it's a reason why I like that kind of, I'm sure that moment with your uncle was like there's something very valuable in that.
Yeah. Hey, do me a favor, lower your head a little, or you're almost out of camera. Well, you're fine there. Oh, that's bad. Oh man. The second part of this interview, I could really see your face, man.
Thank God.
You still look young. You look like you did when I saw you in Jeepers Creepers, which I really liked.
Oh, please.
I'm telling you. Oh, please. That was from Hollywood Squares. There was a guy named Paul Lynn.
Remember
Paul
Lynn? Yeah, sure.
And they used to go, let's go to Paul Lynn. Paul, why did the Queen dissolve members of Parliament? Well, maybe she does magic tricks. Remember him?
Good. Yeah.
You ever want to be a talk show host? You think you'd ever do that?
A host? I think it's easier for me to be a host than to be on the show, which this is an example of. Yeah, I like facilitating a conversation, but I don't necessarily like having to carry a conversation. Yeah. Yeah, I would like to do that. I don't know if I would ever do it, but I think whatever part of me enjoys that, I get to scratch that itch by doing the podcast. I don't think I don't have any more aspirations than that.
Well, I think you could do
ambition to have my own, you know.
Yeah, I think you could do anything you want these days. I mean, you know, I thought, you know, I'd like to be a talk show host. You know, it's weird. It's all these little clicks. You know, it's definitely clicky. Like you have to be, I don't know, these little inside groups to get that kind of thing. You know,
it seems like it'd be a lot of pressure.
I wouldn't want to do, every night doing that. And say, oh my God, you never
every
sleep.
Every night and doing like, you know, timely stuff and current, you just staying up to date with, talking about people in the news. I don't think I am equipped to do that. I don't think I'd be capable of that. I just don't think I'm funny enough either. I mean, you really have to be. I admire those guys tremendously.
Oh my God. Fallon. You know. He's got a family. He's constantly doing sketches online. He's got this. It's like, I couldn't do that. I don't know how you have the energy. Are you coked up every night? Are you on speed all day? How are you doing this?
I know, Mike, we're two like relatively single guys. We don't have families. Just doing this, that's like
that's enough.
That's enough.
I would just do this. Oh my gosh. Do you love acting as much as you did? Do you feel like it's something you want to do forever? Do you feel like, I don't know, I kind of lost my feeling for it?
Mm, that's a really good question. It's something I've thought about a lot lately. I don't think I love it in the way where I need to be doing it constantly like I used to. I there was a time where and I think the reason I did a lot of, I don't want to say movies I shouldn't have done, but like, I don't regret any of the movies I did. I even though I did a lot of bad movies, I don't, because I really enjoyed doing it. I loved, as I said, I loved being on sets. I loved going from these one town to the next and living out of a suitcase. I love that lifestyle. But I think it's the lifestyle now that I don't enjoy as much as I used to. I like having a little bit more stability, though I don't have a family. I'd like to one day. And the idea of going from job to job, that part of it doesn't appeal to me anymore.
Would you do? Would you just do your podcast and maybe try to do something on the side occasionally? I mean, if you didn't want to act, what would it be?
I mean, I love doing this. I mean, I found so much joy in this. I used to love drawing, and I just got a drafting board. There are things I love, gardening. I'm setting up a garden. I don't know. I'm finding, and I hate saying this because this time is bringing so much pain to so many people. But I'm finding myself enjoying things that I just hadn't allowed myself to indulge in the past, like gardening, like taking care of my own lawn. I mean, I know that sounds so douchey and privileged, but I don't know. I've been enjoying reading again and learning a language. I don't know. Acting to me, I miss it.
It just slowed you down. This inadvertently slowed you down, but in a way where you could do the things that you've been wanting to do maybe for a while subconsciously.
Yeah, Mike, I hate even admitting that because it's I you know, as I'm doing these things, I'm also I'm aware of the reality for most people. We're in, yes, we get to be in nice homes doing this fun thing. We get to do this.
You don't know where I am. This could be the only room I'm in.
That's true.
This could be the front door right there.
I'm making assumptions.
You don't know me, Justin.
It's really funny if this is the one room you had and you have like a big jerk poster and there's a toilet that right out of camera's view.
I just say I'm going to take a piss real quick and I'm just pissing right off camera.
You're just connected to a catheter. I know. I having said that, what I really miss is being doing theater. I miss being on stage. And I loved, my brother and I just made a movie. We directed our first movie and we had made a bunch of shorts, and as stressful as it was so fulfilling. It was so creatively satisfying, and we're editing it now. And And it's just been such a satisfying process creatively that I don't feel like I'm I don't feel that sense of like I'm climbing the walls to do another acting job like I used to feel. And I'm also older. I've slowed down physically. I don't have that. There was a time where if I didn't have a job for a week, I would start getting antsy, you know? And I took a lot of jobs because
just wanted to work.
They were jobs.
Right.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Now, let me ask you this. You know, it's funny because we're both single. I'm 47. You're 41, right?
Yeah, that's really comforting to hear, actually.
Well, it's comforting, too. But also, you know, people might say, oh, you know, they're perpetually single and they're ladies, you know, what are they, ladies man or whatever. And they go out with girls and they just can't settle down and they just can't. And they, you know, and there's probably truth to all of it. There's probably truth to all of it. But what now? I read somewhere that you've proposed before, right?
I proposed.
Or not proposed, but you've wanted to get married to someone, right? Or did I read wrong?
Yeah, I mean, I look back at, I would say there's somebody that I probably should have proposed to, but there's somebody, I would say. Yeah, like, I hate to indulge in that cliche of, like the one who got away, but...
But if it's true...
Yeah, I think it's true. Yeah, I suppose so. I just... I go back and forth, Mike. There are times where I do have moments where I think, oh, I should, because I love kids. I really love kids, and it's hard now to be away from, you know, because we're quarantined. I don't get to be around my nephews, and I really miss that. And I think, oh, did I miss the boat? And should I have? I don't know. I have those moments where I'm like. Regretting not having kids, but then, you know, those come and go, and then you think, well, reality, it's easy to like to fantasize about something like that, but the reality of having kids, I don't know if that right now would fit into. I also really enjoy my life now. I don't have I don't feel like I have this deep void. I don't know. I mean, you talk to me in a year, it might change.
Well, do you pick yourself apart? Or on the other hand, do you find that the older you get, like when people get married younger, they're not as picky. They're kind of like, oh, great. They don't. Do you think as we get older and we go out with more people, we're even more picky? We're like, red flag. Yeah, they got that. Yeah, we're going to be alone forever.
Oh, absolutely. Do I see more? Have I gotten pickier?
Yeah.
I mean, I look back at, I mean, I would say if I regret anything, it's staying in relationships that I knew at a certain point weren't the one, you know, that weren't like the one that I should stay in. I regret staying in those too long. And that's, I think that's as simple as, my own guilt. I have a tremendous, you know, and not to blame it all on my upbringing, but I do have a tremendous like guilt complex. And so I think that's a mistake I desperately want to avoid, is getting into the wrong thing. And so I think that's the reason I'm probably still single.
Sure. It's fear. It's probably some fear.
Fear. Yeah.
It's always fear. Most things are fear.
And it gets compounded every year that goes by. And I'm 41 now. You're 47. So it's at the point where, like, I don't want to get into frivolous things. I don't want to get into things that, you know, when we were in our 20s, it was, yeah, you could date somebody for a period of time and then you go off and do a movie and things come between you and distance and all that. And now it's harder to be frivolous, and I don't want to be frivolous with people's time, other people's time.
Isn't that the thing? Like, you know what? I don't want to waste your time. You probably want to have kids. I think, you know, you deserve somebody better. It's almost like we're pushing people away.
Well, it's
inadvertently.
Yeah. I mean, it's also like, I don't think I was ready to have kids when I was in some of these relationships, and I just think they were the wrong ones. I mean, the one I regret is at the time it didn't feel like the right thing. And
which was it? Which relationship was it, Justin?
It was one that, like, it's hard to have a regret that like that, because people in the moment, I stand by the fact that it wasn't right. And I hate even talking about this because it's weird to talk about something cryptically. And it's not interesting to people listening.
It's incredibly interesting because it's kind of like what you're feeling. I see what you're feeling, and it's human.
We're inside. We're here with our. I've been with my thoughts a lot more than I usually am.
We're more vulnerable.
Yeah,
I'm certainly.
You're inside of me.
I'm inside of you right
so
now.
You're good
deflection.
Around. You're in
good deflection, Justin. These are good deflection.
It's funny though. I think one of my hangups is I start. A couple of things happen. I start getting self-conscious, I think mostly because I find that kind of stuff. I find it, not as a listener, but as the recipient of that, to be indulgent. You know, like, why am I single? I start getting paranoid that people listening think, who gives a shit? You know, and like, what, that's my own stuff to work through. And I just start being paranoid that it's not at all interesting.
However, you saying something that, you know, got away, or something that, to me, that just sounds like something that, you know, hey, from my heart, if something got away that didn't come to fruition.
Yeah. Like, and that's all that's the only important information from that. I never thought, that's a cliche for a reason, the one that got away. And you hear that and you think, but I had never felt that until you felt it, until you feel it. And it's a real thing, but it's not necessarily a bad thing. Cause I think it just means that I'm in a different place and that person's in a different place. And,
right.
You know, do you have anything like that? Do you have regrets of, like,
yeah, you know, shit. Yeah, I mean, there are moments where I look back and I go, that was just fucking, you know, I was immature, or I was, not that I'm not mature now, but sure, man. There's moments where I'm like, I don't know if I have any regrets where I look at it and go, I could have maybe married that person. It's not that. In fact, I had on this other show I did with Chris Sullivan, who's amazing. We interviewed my ex-girlfriend from years ago, who's like my best friend, and she's married to this wonderful guy, unbelievable, Eric Almas, photographer, and they have a kid. And we got really, I wouldn't listen to it, but everybody was like, you should listen to it. Mm. It's great because it's really, if you feel like you're vulnerable and you feel, and I remember when she had a baby, I cried. Yeah. And it wasn't because I was like, God, that could have been maybe me. At all.
Yeah, I've had that. Yeah.
It was, this is what she's always wanted.
Yeah.
She's always wanted a baby. She's such a great mom. I knew she'd be a great mom. I knew. So the tears were of joy. So I look back and I'm like, she found the guy that would treat her with all the respect. Not that I didn't treat her respect. The guy that would give her everything that I couldn't. Kudos to him.
I think that's why I'm hesitating to even, I'm tiptoeing around even that phrase, the one that got away, because of course, the real version of that is she's happy. I mean, as long as, if it's somebody that you like, that you care about that much, that you care about at all.
Yeah.
There should be nothing resembling regret if that person is still happy. You know? So I think it's sort of a selfish, it's a selfish brush to paint yourself with. I'm sure everyone asks you this, but do you want to be married, a stable relationship? Do you want to be with somebody now?
You know, I think my grandmother, you know, hearing people always saying, you know, my friend Stacy saying, you'd be such a great dad. And hearing your friends say, you're so good with kids. And you are a kid. Yeah. And they can relate to you. And hearing your grandma saying, Mikey, family's the best thing there is. I think overall, this time, it torments you. And it sort of makes you go, I know I should be doing this. Why am I not doing this? And then you start to feel, what's wrong with me? And then you start to think, now I'm too old. What am I going to do? I can't, you know, what am I going to do? I'm going to wake up and I change a diaper and I'm going to take care of someone. I don't want the kid. I want the kid to be smart. And who's going to teach him math? I'm not the guy. And I start thinking about all these things. That this kid's going to fail. He's going to fail with a father like me, unless I date a fucking, like a you know, a NASA, like, genius scientist.
Oh, no. No, get out of here.
But that's how my mind works.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, why do that? Why put a kid into the world when you just can't, you know? But I, at the same time, do I want to be alone the rest of my life? No. Do I want to find someone? I don't want to find someone just to go, you know what? I guess I won't be alone.
Well, that's selfish. Yeah. I think about that, too. I do. And that's the selfish question that I wrestle with, which is, and this is really morbid, but when you're leaving the world, when you're dying, it would ease that. I feel like it would probably ease the transition.
Yeah.
You know, if you die with some sort of lineage, but that's selfish. I mean, like, I, you know, if there was somebody in my life, if there was a woman who I loved and wanted to, you know, of course I would want to have kids. I just, it's a huge thing, especially when you consider the life I lead right now. It doesn't feel like it's missing that I don't feel like I don't feel like I'm wanting for anything. And part of that is my own privilege. You know, I'm privileged and I have if this pandemic has really highlighted anything, it's those that are, you know, the haves and the have nots. I mean, it's really I think it's shining a light on the socioeconomic injustices. And so, and it's making me feel that much more grateful to be, privileged.
So I think
I don't feel like I'm certainly now, I don't feel like I'm wanting for anything. I feel so fucking blessed to have the life I have.
Sure.
It's also hard to meet people in quarantine.
It is. Do you think that people who don't want kids, for the most part, maybe, it may sound bad and the word is kind of, do you think it's because we're just selfish?
It might be. I mean,
maybe it's just like, you know what? I want my time to be for me and maybe a girlfriend and maybe like, but I don't want to, maybe being selfish is actually being good because you're not bringing someone in the world that you fucking can't give that attention to. Which I'm not going to say anything.
We've seen versions of that.
I mean, my mom, I love my mom. People, I haven't talked about this, but like my mom, you know, she had kids. She was pregnant when she was 16, then 18. Then she had me when she was 23 and my dad was 18 and a hippie. And it's like, but she always wanted to be the center of attention. She never got her childhood. It was taken away by having children. So what happened? She still wanted to be the center of attention. And I don't want to ever, because it would fucking ruin me if I couldn't give that kid every bit of attention that he or she deserved. And that would burn me.
But Michael, you know that you're in a much, I completely understand the psychology behind that and that fear and your mom being arrested in development. But you know that you've already far surpassed whatever position she was in life. I mean, you're far more developed than she was. And
maybe a little.
No, I think, I mean, like any of the hangups that you have are the result of your, of what happened to her in your own childhood. But God, that's crazy. 16 and 18.
Oh boy. Wow. I got so many stories.
Wait, so you weren't kidding when you said you thought the fact that you weren't growing was due to their drug intake.
No. My, you know, I mean, I'm sure my dad.
Oh, they were hippies. They were real hippies.
Well, I don't know, real hippies, but you know, my dad was like, you know, at 18 years old when he's, you know, I think he had me when he was 19.
Wow.
19 or 20, the latest.
So you're lucky. They're young still.
They're young. My dad's 67. My mom's 72. So,
oh my God.
Yeah.
They're still together.
No. My mom's in her third marriage because my dad is her second. My dad's divorced twice. My sister's in her fourth marriage. My brother Adam's only been married once so far. My brother Eric never. He'll never get married. I can't see it. I have a half older brother. What do you call a biological brother?
Wow.
I guess a half older sister. And then I have two younger half sisters with my dad's previous marriage.
So your idea of family and marriage, it was always very fractured, probably.
Always dysfunctional, always crazy. Yeah. Nobody talks to anybody. I mean, honestly, if you ever have me on your show, I'll tell you all the shit.
Oh, I would love that.
I mean,
well, no wonder this must be so therapeutic for you.
This is therapy, and hopefully some people can relate and go, oh my God.
So what do you think of somebody when you hear that my parents are still together, they were loving. I mean, sometimes too loving, sometimes there are hangups. It's not perfect, but what do you think of when you hear that story?
You fucking asshole. You stupid fucking. No, I honestly go, thank God. That's good. That's good. That's nice that you had that, you know. And by the way, I don't sit here and, you know, I'm not knocking my parents. I'm just I'm very forgiving. I'm like, it's taken me a long time. But the more you could say, this is how it was. They did the best they could. That's all they knew. And it's not an excuse. It's how I feel. It's like, you weren't capable. You couldn't do it. And that's that. And you know what? I got what I got. And now I'm working on me. And I have I've had success. And I'm able to love. And I'm able to. And I, you know, sure, I'm fractured.
It must be very hard to let that go, though. I don't know. You're somebody I've always really liked. And I like that spirit that you have this gregarious. You have bingo parties for people. And you want to bring people together. And you have damage from your parents who, through no fault of your own, did this thing to you. And I don't know. I'm just always rooting for you. You know,
thanks, dude. Well, too. I mean, look, when you say my parents did to me, I don't look at it that way. They were young.
Not maliciously.
And no. I think they did the best they could. And I think that, you know, there were some good moments and there were some, you know, you could always, I don't compare, but you can say, you know, many people have had it way worse. Many people have it way better. I'm just saying all that matters, it doesn't matter what people try to tell you or explain to you, like, what, you didn't have this, you had a roof over your head. As a child in your developmental stages, you know what you had and didn't have because it's the way you are. It's the way you feel. It's the way you think. It's the way you felt.
Right.
And no one can tell you what they did when you didn't feel that way. So you can forgive and you can do this. But, you know, I've had many conversations with people who's like, why would you feel that way? You know, if you say I hurt my, let's say you're dating a girl. I've had a situation where I'm like, you know, when you said that, I just want to let you know that it hurt my feelings when you said that. Why? Why would that hurt your feelings? That should never be the way they take that. They should always say, first of all, I'm sorry. I did not mean to hurt your feelings, but can you explain to me why? This is why I think a lot of marriages get ruined because people are so sensitive and they get like, they can't just say.
Easily triggered.
There's triggers. Why can't you just say, I remember saying things to people like, how could I have meant that? Why would I have meant that? And then you get upset. And
you're like, guilty of that myself.
And they didn't need that. All they needed you to say was, I'm sorry you feel that way. And I'm sorry that I made you feel that way. And that's not what I meant, but you felt it and it's real. And I apologize. And that's fucking what you should do.
I think it's so valuable to recognize your own triggers and your own limitations. And I've been recognizing my own. I think when somebody's illogical, when somebody's not, the behavior's not making sense, it doesn't necessarily mean it's wrong. And that was something that I think I grew up thinking. If it's not logical, it's wrong. And when it comes to, you know, people's feelings and their triggers and these things we're talking about, it's not necessarily always logical. I have a very hard time with that.
So you're gonna tell me who this girl was or what?
No.
Well, it's one of what? One of probably three that people could think of?
I don't think so. No. I don't think it's somebody that people... No.
Yeah, bullshit. All right, here we go. Ashley T. And these should be quick. Ashley T. Good old Ashley T. Top tier. Shit talking. Do you still practice the 5 Ds of dodgeball?
Do I still practice the 5 Ds of dodgeball? I haven't played dodgeball in a while.
What were the 5 Ds again?
Somebody sent me a meme that was like a coronavirus meme that was... that was like dodge, duck, dip, whatever they are, dodge, duck, dip, dive, and dodge. And they were like, you should post this. And I felt very strange about making light of it. So I didn't, but that was the last time I remember hearing that, dodge, duck, dip, dive. God, you know, I so grateful to have, talking about gratitude, I'm grateful to have worked with some really good actors, and Rip Torn was one of them.
Hang on a second. What is he doing over there? What is he? He's running around. I heard that interview where you were messing around. Rip Torn was in a close-up of his shot, and he just was like, what the fuck is Justin Long doing? What happened? Do that quickly.
No. He said, I was really nervous around him. By the way, your listeners, Rip Torn is one of the greats. You know? I mean, he was one of Tennessee Williams' like favorite actors, and he was in the original Sweet Bird of Youth, and like he's just an There's a great movie called Payday. Have you seen Payday?
No.
Where he plays like a Waylon Jennings type country singer.
Mm-mm.
Fucking great, man. I was just such a big fan of his, and so, you know, but he was a little he was a little ornery, and so we were doing the scene where he threw the wrench at my head, and he was forgetting his lines, and he was looking around, and I've experienced this before, I'm sure you have, with older actors, and I pray to God it doesn't happen to me, but I'm sure it will, where you start forgetting your lines.
I forget them now, but go ahead.
Yes, yeah.
It's true.
Well, I'm just going to turn a light on you. And one of two things can happen, where either you take it upon yourself you own it. You're like, ah, shit, I'm forgetting my lines. Or you blame it on somebody else. You know, I'm forgetting my lines because of this.
Right.
And so I was doing my off camera for him. It was his coverage. And he threw like the prop wrench near me, and I made it like it hit my face, and I didn't want to do too much because I didn't want to be distracting. And he said forgot his lines, and he looked at me and he said, well, what are you doing? You're dancing around like a goddamn monkey. What is he doing? And at first I thought he was ad-libbing. I thought he was improvising. And so I tried to stay in it a little bit, and he goes, cut, he's dancing around like a goddamn monkey, you know? And I was so nervous. I said, afterwards, I said, I tried to apologize, and I said, I'm really sorry, Mr. Torn. And he said, let me tell you something, son. When you talk over another actor's lines, it means they got to go loop the whole goddamn thing. And I said, oh, I wasn't talking. You thought I was talking. I wasn't talking. And he goes, are you calling me a liar? And I said, no, what do you say when somebody
Jesus.
Says, you know, it what was do you just... say? I just backed down. And that was it. He, I think he was, had just forgotten the lines, but he was.
Sometimes he was, you want somebody to blame. It's like Christian Bale. No, I'm fucking doing something. No, do I fucking mess with what you're doing?
You know, I got to tell you, I don't totally blame Christian Bale.
Christian Bale's funny. It went on too long. Here's what I would have done if I flipped out and I was having a bad day. Dude, shut the fuck up.
Right.
Or
I'm going to flip
out. And then that's it.
Of course. I wouldn't do that.
It went on for 20 minutes.
Passive aggressive.
Right.
And like a pussy. But I don't totally blame him.
I know.
Because from what I understand, the guy was moving shit around. Christian Bale's in this, whatever. It's hard to defend that level of a rant, but
he lost it. He's an intense guy. He cares about his work. People let it go. He's still working. All right. We're going to do quick fire here. Boom.
Okay.
Pat, what moment would be on the blooper reel of your life?
My life? Oh man. I think about that a lot. There are so many times things happen to me where I think, oh God, I'd like to, or not necessarily to me or to friends of mine, where I think, oh God, I would love to see that in the afterlife. You know, that movie, Defending Your Life, the Albert Brooks movie.
Mm-hmm.
I think about that movie a lot when funny things happen. Cause I think, like, you know, in that movie, they actually review moments of somebody's life. They get to rewind them and watch them back. And I think about that a lot. Like, oh God, I'd like to, if I could relive 10 moments, God, offhand, I don't know. I remember almost walking into traffic once. I was talking about, I was on a street corner in New York, and I was talking about that movie Hamilton, or the play. It had just come out, and it was just nominated for a bunch of Tonys. And I said to my friends, oh, good for Lin-Manuel Miranda. That's really cool. It's his first thing, and it gets nominated for all these Tonys. And they said, oh, no, he did this play In the Heights. Then he's been nominated, so he's already. And I go, oh, so, and I this is word for word. I said, oh, so he's no stranger to the Tony scene, which is a crazy thing for me to say, for anyone to say, but it's weird for me to say. And I kind of like, I tend to drift around. I like looking up and looking at the sky and stuff, and I kind of drifted into off the curb. And a bus came. It was so close to hitting me, like a speeding bus, that I remember feeling my hair. I have kind of like floppy hair, and I remember feeling like my hair like hit the bus. I'm sure it didn't, but it felt the wind. It was so close to hitting me.
Terrifying.
And a friend of mine pulled me back, and they were like, what the fuck are you doing? And they were freaked out. I didn't see how close it was to hitting me, but it was really close. And my brother and I were laughing about that because my last words would have been, oh, so he's no stranger to the Tony scene. That line. And they would have had to tell my parents, oh, so, you know, or my
what
friends.
What were his last words?
Oh, he said he's no stranger to the Tony scene.
Well, what does that mean?
Yeah, I think about that a lot. Whenever I say anything like that, similar to that, like similarly embarrassing, my brother and I, we say, here comes the meteor. Here comes the asteroid. That's it. Your last words.
All right, here we go. Jennifer N., what would be your dream role in a horror movie?
You know, what you play the victim once, it's hard to find different versions of that. I don't know. It's a good question, but I you know, it'd be fun. I love Nightmare on Elm Street. It'd be fun to do a Nightmare on Elm Street. Just to be in one of those. Just to be with, like, Robert Englund and the makeup.
Yeah.
Dude,
I would love that.
Yeah.
Samantha M., is there a particular genre of movie you prefer acting in?
excuse me. Lately, it's been – I really miss doing – I want to do a comedy, like a real like a goofy, fun comedy. I those are the ones that I've been – watching a lot of, and you know, I keep looking at The Jerk, that poster, and as I said earlier, I only recently saw that, and that kind of dumb, it's so rare, like really smart dumb humor is my favorite. I think it's my favorite genre, like Mike Judge type stuff.
Yeah, well, you did Idiocracy
is, yeah, that type of that
with tone. Dax, that's where you met Dax. All right, last one is Sean W. You ever get baked with Kevin Smith?
Yeah. I mean, every time you go over his house, he has, have you been to, you know, Kevin?
No. I mean, we know each other. He's come up to me at conventions and talked to me about Guardians and this and that. I've been trying to get on the podcast. The fucker, you know, I don't have his number.
You were
though.
In Guardians. You were in.
I had a small part in Guardians too. I played Martin X, which coincidentally was one of the original Guardians in the comics from that Stan Lee did. But I had three little scenes. I had they CGI'd my face with dots. Remember the Stallone? But it was cool. It was
fun. I haven't seen the second one, Mike. I got
to
see that.
Yeah, just look next to Stallone. I'm the guy with diamonds on his face.
Oh, that's the Stallone one. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Well, dude, look, man. Honestly, this is awesome. I really didn't know you other than seeing you every once in a while or hearing about you, but I always liked you.
Well, I was trying to remember, how do we know each other from, was it, is it Gina or Nikki Acox?
Nikki Acox, probably.
Nikki, yeah.
Yeah, I did a movie years ago that no one should ever see.
What was that?
I don't want to talk about it.
Oh, come on.
No! I mean, it doesn't matter. It was called Rave Macbeth. They lost the sound, so we had to loop the entire...
Oh, yeah, Rave Macbeth!
We had to loop the entire movie, and what's funny, it actually was really cool and different until we had to loop the movie. Imagine doing ADR every line.
Yeah, you have to say all of the dialogue. Good Lord.
They lost the sound. Something happened, man. I didn't even go. There was like a premiere for it. I was like, fuck, I'm not going to that shit.
Oh my God.
I'm not embarrassing myself. I was just like, you know, this is just not good. It's like I put my heart and soul to this. I didn't get paid much for it. And then you lose the sound. I don't want to fuck. I spent weeks doing, I was the lead. So I had to do weeks of doing the ADR.
Oh my God. Was it terrible? Was it Macbeth though? I mean, was the story of Macbeth?
Yeah. I mean, it was like loosely in a drug world, kind of like, you know, witchy kind of. If it wasn't looped, and if it was like, there was things wrong with it, but it had potential. It just,
they were making a lot of movies then. I remember there were a lot of like drug fueled, like that movie Spun or Go, you know, movies
right around then, right?
Yes, yeah.
And this
its own little subgenre.
Yeah, and I shot this in Germany, so it was.
That's right, I remember. Yes.
I met the girl named Miriam.
Monroe. Was she in that?
Yep, she was in that. Marguerite Monroe. Kirk Baltz. Kirk Baltz was the guy who got his ear cut off in Reservoir Dogs. Great actor.
Yeah.
So he and I, we still talk about that. Every once in a while, text me, you know.
Wow. Mike, I would love for you to be on the show because I feel like I have so many questions.
Well, let's do it. Let me know when. I'll come on, of course.
That'd be great.
Thank you for allowing me to be inside of you, my friend, Justin. And
it was a pleasure to have you inside of me.
Let me know when you want me to come on and we'll do it.
I love that, Mike. Yeah. Yeah. And I, you know, I can't wait for this to be over. It'd be nice to see you out there.
Who do you think he was thinking about? I kept thinking, is he talking about Drew Barrymore? Is he talking about so-and-so? Yeah, I don't know. I wasn't interrogating the guy. I love him. I just, you know, I wanted to know some shit. Thank you again to everyone. Remember, new hoodies, inside of you hoodies, black shirts and gray shirts. They'll be up on the site very shortly, so keep looking. Remember to go to amaze.com/reunion to win an entry into a virtual tour or a virtual room with me, Tom Welling, and Krista Kruk of Smallville to support the Ronald McDonald House. New Patreon, John Heater and I are just doing a Patreon exclusive, so you have to just be a patron member. It's called our Patreon is called Where Have All the Good Horror Movies Gone? And take a look at that. See if you want to join it. It'll be a lot of fun. John and I are. We have a good dynamic. Here's a fan letter from Jason. I've been a fan of yours ever since Smallville, and I recently discovered your podcast a few months ago, and I cannot stop listening. I'm sure you receive hundreds of these, and I am not even sure if you will read this. However, I just want to say thank you. I want to write to you for a while. I've wanted to, and the words never made sense to me. Your podcast has given me a lot lately. Short backstory, I'm 27, married, 2 kids, and work a commission sales job selling furniture. I have a lot of unanswered questions growing up, even more than ever. Why am I the way I am? Will I ever become successful? Am I meant for something else? Why am I constantly talking myself out of opportunities? Why do I have anxiety, depression? Does it make me weird? Is my parents' actions and how they raised me going to affect my kids? I know I'm a complete stranger and you have no idea who I am. I may never have a chance to meet you or shake your hand or get a picture with you, but I just have to say thank you. Your podcast has saved me. I don't feel so alone because even though there's about 20 years between us, I feel like I have so much to relate with you and your guests. I have looked at my past differently. I tried to change the way I am in my marriage, how I parent my kids. I've been able to look at life a little differently, knowing I'm not alone and I am not the only one that struggles with some of these issues. I am not a patron yet, hopefully financially I can get it together and start giving back for what you've given me. Buddy, you just listening to the show and getting something from this is enough. Don't you even worry about that. Thank you again for everything. I look forward to every Tuesday. By the way, Batman versus Superman would have been made so much more money if you were Lex. I would love to hear back from you. If not, just know in Auburn, Georgia, you have a huge fan and you are touching lives coast to coast. The funny thing is I never read that letter till now. I like to feel something and, you know, I could always cut it if the letter is absurd or someone yells at me and tells me to F off, but I like to read it and feel it. And I felt it for sure. And you're not alone, man. Jason, you're not alone. You'll never be alone. I think that's a mentality that, you know, sometimes people feel they're alone and they just keep distancing themselves, but you have to just be aware of those things and, you know, you're doing the best you can. And the way you were parented that, you know, you got to break the cycle. If you weren't raised well by your parents, you have to be the man that you want to become. And you can't blame. I have family members that, you know, and we've all done it. We blame our father or our mother or our this or our relationship or someone broke up with me. They ruined my life. No, this is your life. It's your life, man. That's it. Again, I'm not a therapist, but it's pretty safe to say this is your life. So you have to take responsibility for your actions. You have to make the necessary changes to make you the person you want to be, the man you want to be. And that's what I believe. And I'm fighting to do it every day. Don't think it's easy. I struggle it all the time. I doubt myself all the time. And then I switch gears. I will not allow myself to keep doing this, man. And let's go to these patrons here. Here we go. I know them all. I really know them all. Nancy D. We got Mary B. We got Leah S. Trisha F. Sarah V. Yukiko. Jill E. Brian H. Lauren G. Nico P. Barry L. Angelina G. Jerry W. Kevin R. Emily K. Bob B. Robert B. Jason W. Kristen K. Is that Kristen Crook? No, it's Kristen Keough. I know. Sorry. Andrew C. Allison L. Mark A. Jason D. Raj. Oh, yeah, baby. Joshua D. Emily. Hi, Emily S. CJP. You down with CJP? Yeah, you know me. Rocks Raccoon. Rocks Raccoon. Come on, girl. Samantha M. Hamza B. Jennifer N. Stacy B. Carly T. Vanessa in the Sky. I always see that name. I always remember Vanessa in the Sky. Reem. You know I love you, Reem. Jennifer S. Hey, girl. Janelle B. Neil W. You know I know you and Janelle. Tabitha 272. Kimberly E. Melissa C. Mike E. Jake M. Catherine M. Jack S. Judith D. Ramira. Chris F. Chad W. Leanne, we didn't forget you. All right? We didn't forget you, darling. Darla W. Jackie P. Rodrigo S. Hey, Rodrigo. That sounds like a sexy name. Rachel C. Travis B. Ray A. Ray A. Thank you to all my badass patrons. We just did a live, private live Patreon YouTube experience Saturday. That was our third one. That's not even part of like what I offered, and I'm doing it because I just enjoy you guys. I enjoy talking with you. I enjoy Instagram lives. I enjoy sending messages to patrons. I just have a lot of fun doing it, and they're so so awesome. I'll leave you with this. You know, as the weeks go on and the divisiveness continues, which there should be none, you know, we should just be, I don't get political on here. I hope you can enjoy that. I appreciate that. But this isn't like, you know, I get it. If you're like, oh, I'm strong and I'm healthy and I could do what I want. That's great, man. But it's not about you. It's about other people who, if they get it, they might die. You just have to be careful. You know, you just have to. Why is it so hard to wear a mask? If you're going to a public place, wear a mask. If not, you're just disrespecting everybody in there. You're telling everybody that you don't care about them. Just try to follow the rules, man. Just try to help people. You know, if you don't believe in it, just stay home. I'm staying home. But, you know, when I go, I try to wear, I do wear a mask. I don't know. I'm not going to tell you what to do, but I'm telling you what the fuck to do. Wear a mask. All right. That's it. Wear a mask. Come on. Is that that hard? You got to rebel. It's your right not to wear a mask. You know, it's your right also to help your fellow human beings and save their lives. And, you know, sometimes I read on Facebook, some of my friends from back home, jeez, ass. I try not to respond. Yeah. Love thy neighbor, man. Truly love thy neighbor. But listen, I love you guys. Thank you so much for listening. We got a great episode next week. I think you're going to really dig it. I mean, you're digging all of them, but keep listening. Keep listening, even if you don't like the guest or know the guest. You'll learn something, I promise. Thank you. Oh, thank you to Ryan for the wonderful editing job. Thank you, Bryce, for your constant work as well and devotion to the podcast. It's not like I'm paying these guys millions of dollars to do this. Right now, they're shaking their head. They're like, no, he's not. But I really appreciate it. And I always say, you know, hopefully this thing takes off more and more, and we were able to make it worthwhile for everybody. But I hope everybody's really enjoying the podcast and getting something from it. I really feel like everybody is, and that's the most important thing. We talk about not comparing ourselves. I really don't. It's not comparing. I just want I want this thing to blow up bigger. That's it. Let's just grow it together. All right. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for allowing me to be inside each and every one of you. And over there too, and right there, and right there, and right there. I love you. Thank you. Next week, we got a great episode coming up. So please listen.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone's senior writer, Brian Hyatt.
Now, here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just been handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.